Have your seat in God's presence. This is the song every day. Hear me? And this is why we have to gather every day. Yeah. The true apostolic church will meet every day. Yeah. Every day. We either meet in a church or we meet in our houses. But every day you sing this song, regardless of what happens, regardless of whatever challenge. You know, Mary was overwhelmed when she had the baby Jesus. Elizabeth too was overwhelmed. And Mary took a long trip to go see Elizabeth. And the result of that trip was that there was a leap in the belly of Elizabeth. You see, whenever we gather and we see, something leaps within us. And that which leaps within us is the truth. You see, no matter what you're going through, when you come to the house of the Lord, something will leap within you. During the worship, during the teaching, something will be something will be signified in your spirit. And that is the truth, you see. Many times it will be contrary to what you have thought was the truth, you see. And so we need to gather. Eh? We need to see. We need to pray together. Eh? We need to study the Bible together. You see. How many of you remember those early days when you got saved? And you and your friends would gather to just fellowship. Did you know how sweet it was? Yeah. We spoiled it when we built too many walls around it. Are you with me, friends? So which day is the best day of your life? Yeah. And you know, when is tomorrow? It will be today. You know, tomorrow will also be today. You know, and that's why the Bible says we should not forsake the gathering of ourselves. Like is the custom of some. You see, some people always have excuses. The Bible has said that some people, that's their custom. But that's not your own custom, right? You don't have malaria when you're meant to gather, you know, sudden malaria and then, you know, no excuses, right? Hallelujah. Yesterday night was amazing. It was so powerful. You know, and Papa Ayo is also in the house today. You know, it was like there was a supernatural formatting of system.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. There was, you know, the Lord erased what should not be in our hearts. Yes, sir. And then put new things. You know, we thank God for having a father, you know. It's a very big problem if you don't have a father. Because the challenges of life are older than you. You know, such a beautiful thing to have a father. And then Papa Ayo also came with a great man of God, Pastor Kadebs. Can we appreciate Pastor Kadebs? I appreciate you very well, Lou. I'm happy to see you, man of God. Thank you so much. You know, we thank God. So this morning I'll be going up first before Papa comes up, you know. And we'll be wrapping up what we're talking about. You see, it is an abnormality that you are depressed, confused. It's not a normal thing. You know, whilst I was sitting this morning, I felt like the Lord was asking me and talking to me and saying to me that what you received is eternal life. You remember we said that day before yesterday. Like, it is life. So if we have any advantage, you can't say we receive life and at the same time you don't like your life. You know, it's an abnormal thing that a child of God does not like his life. Like, oh, I don't even know what's happening to me. You know, those are very strange things. They are very strange things. You will never be in such places again. Amen. And I told you yesterday, a day before yesterday, that the Lord is bringing us to divine synchronization. You see, when we are rightly synchronized there, life will flow. You see, life doesn't flow first from the without. It is the accuracy in your synchronization that determines output. You see? So, listen. Your primary, your basic engagement with God must not be the God that answers prayers. That's not the first thing. You see? If you only know God as a God that answers prayers, then you would have a life that answers to problems. You understand? Because you have a God that answers prayers, then it means that there must be problems in your life that God must always answer. You see, but that's not God answers prayers, but that's not our first revelation of God. Our first revelation of God that He is life, and that this life He wants us to walk in it, in fullness and in abundance. So that you are not leading a life where you are just trying to take out fires, emergencies. No. And so we need to get ourselves synchronized. Are you with me?
Yes,
oh Lord, tune my heart to be at the very spot where you are. You see? So that you can enjoy seamless flow of divine life. Are you with me, friends? We were looking at three. I said I'll show you five areas where synchronization must happen. The first one is what? Is the brotherhood. Eh? Which I dovetailed towards the local assembly. Are you with me? In the local assembly, there is life. Are you with me?
Yes,
so you must be synchronized. You see, to properly, you see, you must not be an offense in the brotherhood. Are you with me?
Yes,
it must not be difficult. You see, you must not find it difficult. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You must, you see, whenever you are finding church life difficult, you need to pray that the Lord will break you so that church life will be natural to you. Because it's tough to read the Bible and not love church life. Because almost all the New Testament you are reading was reading to, you see, if the people there didn't like church life, you won't have a Bible. So you can't love the revelation in the book of Ephesians and forget that it was written to the church in Ephesians. You can't pick the revelation and throw away the context. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
It's in the context that legitimizes the revelation. You see, if the context is wrong, the revelation is wrong. And so life flows. You see? You know, the Bible told us that one of the ways we get healings in our bodies is to confess our faults one to another. In another place, the Bible explained to us that if there is anyone sick amongst you, that they should take him to the elder. Are you with me? You know, it will be a bad thing if they take you to the elders and the elders are wondering, "Where? Who are you?" It means there was an assumption that this sick person has elders. Like, they didn't say, "If you have elders," they say, "Take it," because they felt like everybody has common sense. That there is elders. Take him to the elders. So it means that in the New Testament church, healing happens not only on the basis of a healing anointing. That the local assembly is a type of hospital. I mean, the structure of it provides for even healing in the body. You see, some of you who are bragging that you have not been sick for many years, you might not be able to link it. But the truth is, sometimes it's because of your connect with the body. I tell you the truth. And Paul now told us the reverse of it, where he was talking about those who have cancer problem, pancreas problem. He told us why. He said the reason why their liver failed, he said, is because they do not discern the body. He said some of you fall sick and even sleep. You see, which is a spiritual way of discussing about death. He said some of you even sleep. And the reason for it is because, so you will go to the hospital. The hospital will say, we lost him. He said, heart attack. You see, but in heaven, they will say, it's not heart attack. In heaven, it's because the person has not discerned the body. And what did they do? They were going to church, you see, without eating communion. Because those days, I told you before, their communion then is better than our communion now. You see, communion then was real fellowship. It's not like they cut one small bread and they are now sharing it to everybody. Communion was actually night food. It's night food. And that was the first communion we had. Jesus said, let's go and eat supper. It's dinner. You see, so you don't even know the healing going on. You see, sometimes when your brother comes to visit you, you don't know that that visit, if you can just offer food, deliverance will happen. You don't know, but you have hid your food. And at the same time, you will remain with your sickness. Because on the table of our feasting is the glory of God.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. There is glory in we eating. So I tell you. So there is nothing mundane with us. Nothing mundane with us. Satan is making sure we don't eat together. Like, it is important for us not to eat. So it reminds you, you see, of the cost of food. You see, and it makes it register in your soul so that you can plan your food so that when anybody comes, you say, no, this one person is not part of the plan. You see? You see? So you have to. Paul was writing to Timothy, and he told Timothy, he said, there was something we placed on you. He said, the presbytery, when they laid hands on you, there was something that entered you. You must make sure you find it. You get it? So Timothy is not empty. And the reason he's not empty is that in the local assembly, they gave him something. Ooh. So it means that we can gather and give you something. You see, and when you travel, we ask you, that thing we gave you. What are you doing with what we gave? We gave you something. The church gave you something. We gave you, it's we have given you to go and prosper with it. You see? So it means that when you are properly aligned, you can go and you find out that I'm representing a people. I'm representing a people. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Isn't this an amazing thing?
Yes,
isn't it an amazing thing?
Yes,
don't you think this is an amazing thing?
Yes,
such an amazing thing, isn't it? We would, none of us here will amount to anything if after being saved we stayed at home.
Yes.
I tell you, Dada, all of us are a product of when we got saved. We got, you see, you might be speaking prophetic apostolic, but before you could spell prophetic apostolic, you see, there was a set of pastors, you see. Oh, my goodness. Who labored over you, you see? Are you with me? And stuffs were put in you. So you need to be properly synchronized everywhere you find yourself. The Bible spoke about how in the book of Acts chapter 2, how many souls were added to the church that should be saved. So in the church, saving goes on.
Yes.
I tell you, friends. So don't joke. Don't joke. Don't play around. Don't pray around the brotherhood, the local assembly. Are you with me? It's very important. Is it not very important?
Very important.
Don't you think it's very important?
Very important.
Is it not an important thing for a child of God to wake up very early and wake he and his wife and the children, and they are rushing, all of them, to go to the house of the Lord. Is it not a beautiful thing? Is it not a glorious thing? Is it not meant to be a vision and a dream that you have? That one day, this is how my life will be. My wife and I will rush to the house of the Lord. You see? Because people are rushing somewhere. You see, if you don't rush to God's house, you will rush to other places. You will rush to the island. You will rush to the island. You know, you will rush to the island. 4 a.m., you are rushing to the island. With sorrow and sadness. You see, and that sorrow is not stopping you. You are going, no matter how sorrowful you are, you will rush the next day. You see, it's as though the psalmist knew about this and he said it is vain to wake up very early in the morning. And it, the reason is because of the bread of sorrow. I'm telling you, they already knew about Lagos. You know, they said it is a vain thing. You see, that's why, Kenneth, you have to, those are your teenagers, you must turn them to something else very quickly so that early enough they can decide how they will live their lives so that they won't have to wake up early in the morning for the bread of sorrow. You must mess them up completely. Because the people who are waking up to the bread of sorrow, they don't want to. But time has gone. So they have to do that. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. You see, the Bible says he gives his beloved sleep. So you see, anything that is not making you sleep is not God that gave it to you. You see? He says the God you serve, he gives. You see, you must plan. As you are planning in life and praying, you must say, Lord, I plan to sleep. I plan to sleep. I'm not going to live a life where I can't sleep. Oh, Lord, my God, I will sleep. Whether I'm in anywhere in the world, I will be able to sleep. All my needs are met, and I will meet the needs of others. Yes, I will sleep. And you will sleep. Are we together, friend?
Yes.
The second thing we spoke about is the will of God. See. The teaching on making success primary is not from God. Success can never be primary. It's bad language. It's bad English. It's bad spiritual speaking. I have come, you see, according to the volume of books that is written concerning me. My meat is to do my Father's will and to finish it. So if you are going to use terminologies like success, use it in the context of I will finish the will of God for my life. You see, success is will.
Yes.
It's not an earthly thing.
Yes.
My brother, get up. Let me tell you something. You see, when they gave birth to you physically, you see, your parents began to dream of what you will become. Now, before you were born, you see, you were in God's mind as thoughts. The first thought is the thought of love. God loves you. You are born out of love. Then the second thought is God has a will for you. You see. Not just that God has a will for you. God has made you in his will. And I'm not talking about physically. You are weaved to execute it. That's why Jesus Christ said, a body has now prepared me. You see, that body is not just physical body. He's talking about the whole construct of his life. He says, you have prepared me a body. I'm wired a certain way. Now, hear me, my friends. It is not after you were born that God and the angels are planning what you will do. You will have to find out. Are you with me? You will have to find out. Just move like this. You will have to find out. Because it had been in existence before you were born. But you know, the beautiful thing is that it is not even now first a thing you will do. It is first a person you will be. So the first prayer is not, God, what am I here on earth for? No. You see, what you are here on earth for is what the Holy Spirit is trying to construct. You see, because if you have not become what you are meant to do, you will not do it by grace. Did you hear it?
Yes,
if you have not become it, you first become it before you do it.
Yes,
so that it is a gracious thing. Are you together with me?
Yes,
you know, if I tell you to bark right now, the dogs will wonder if you have epilepsy. You know, dogs, when dogs hear you bark, you think you are barking, but dogs know you are not barking. Why? Because you are not a dog. So you don't have grace to bark. So what the Holy Spirit does is that it prepares a body. He prepares you and makes you compliant with your destiny. So that your destiny becomes the easiest thing for you to do. Now it's easy, not because it's easy. It's easy because you were made for it. Friends, is it not a good thing when Peter told Jesus that stop talking about dying? That's an elderly advice. You see, because they became responsible before Jesus. Then Peter had become responsible people before Jesus. Because Peter was already, how do we say it? He was already a family man. He had settled down. You know, Mike has not yet settled down. Pastor Mike, you know, he has not yet settled down. He's not married. Yeah. He's the only pastor who has not settled down. Huh? But all the other pastors, they have settled down. Kenny has settled down, right? David has settled down. Dami has settled down. Lyle has settled down. Okpe has settled down. But Mike has refused to settle down. Are we together, Fred?
Yes.
Now, you see, Peter was advising Jesus and he was saying, stop talking about death. The Bible says he took him to a private place and rebuked him. And said, yes, you're our master. I can't rebuke you publicly, but you understand, I'm here to help you also. It's like, the relationship is like, you know, you might have spiritual things, but when we talk of life issues, you understand. I said, oh, I'm sorry, Kube. He rebuked him. You see, then Jesus Christ now said, now, how can somebody tell you not to die? And you interpret it as Satan speaking. Because he was already formed in the will. So long life is not a temptation. It's not a desire. Because he's not wired. He's not excited about livinghood. Listen, when you step into the will, if you see everybody doing something that is not your will, it will not even move you at all. Like, everybody will be doing one thing. It will not even make any sense to you. In fact, you will support them to go and do what they are doing. You will not wish, you will not think you are missing out. Ooh. I don't know if you are missing out on anything. Are you missing out on anything? I'm missing out on anything. I'm not missing out on anything. I don't wish I'm a tech guru. You understand? Like Pastor Lalo. You know Pastor Lalo is a tech guru. I don't wish I'm a tech guru. I don't have the desire to be a tech guru. But I have sponsored countless amount of people to go and become tech gurus. Because I like the money that comes from tech gurus. So I know if I help them, maybe they will give me some. You see, but I don't want to be a tech guru. You see? Are you with me? I'm in the wheel. You see? No nation excites me. Do you understand? There is no nation that excites me. Because there are no excitement. There are no eternal excitement in things if it is not the wheel. Oh, Barikavia, sir. You know, I trust that the Lord will touch your heart. And that you will fall in love with the wheel. Because in the last day, your conversation with the Lord in the last day will be about the wheel. So don't joke with the wheel. Don't look at things with your physical eyes and go for it. Let your spirit. You see, even Paul wanted to go preach somewhere. The Bible says the Holy Spirit withheld him. And he did not go. You see, because it's not the wheel. So you need to, listen, I'm telling you the reason why, say now my brother, I'm telling you the reason why people struggle is that they are looking for what is not lost. And you can, listen, let me say this to you. You can struggle for 60 years. It is easy to struggle all the days of your life. And struggle is not lack of money. When I say struggle, I'm not saying you will lack money. You can have money and you are struggling. You see, to struggle is to live a life that is not being lived from inside. Any life that you are living that is not being powered from your spirit is a struggle. There must never be a disconnect between what you are doing without and what is going on within. You see, stop doing things God is not talking to you about. Now, how can you be doing something that in your devotion, God never mentions it? And that is what you are spending most of your time to do. You are living in cities that God has no plan. You don't understand. You went to a city. No angel was assigned to go with you. Ooh, it's a very terrible thing. You wake up in the morning and your heaven is shut. It's a terrible thing. This is not how we are meant to live. You should live knowing that I am at this. I'm where God will have me be. Don't marry a man or a woman that when you are praying to God about marriage, God knows, doesn't mention her. How can you be married to somebody God does not talk to you about? You're saying, oh Lord, this marriage you're applying next 6 months, I want you to go. And God will say, all right, so that thing that I was talking about, and God is not. One day, I told you, Abraham caught God. He caught God. He just caught him and he said, God, let Ishmael live in your sight. You are not talking about Ishmael. After Abraham had Ishmael, God visited Abraham and told Abraham about my covenant with you still remains. I will give you a child. After you have done naming ceremony, God said, I will give you. Don't worry, you are childless. I will give you a child. It's a terrible thing. You will not be there.
Amen.
There will be a generation who will not be there. You know, I see a generation whose greatest plan is not happiness.
Yes.
It's not.
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
Whose greatest plan is not happiness. You know, happiness is a prison Satan locks a lot of us in. Are you with me? It's not. You see, the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. If I can be in a place and do things that is giving the Lord joy, the joy of the Lord, that is when you will have strength. The joy of the Lord. So we pursue the Lord's joy first. Then we will have strength. Why? Because we know that if this thing gives God joy, if it's not currently giving us joy, it's because of the darkness that we are carrying. And He will heal us. You know, there are things you are meant to be happy about, but you are not happy about it. You know why? Because you don't know the love of the Lord. Have you heard preachers talk about how God sent them somewhere and they were just sorrowful, God had to kill their first child, kill their second child, crash their business. You know, you are not a good, you understand? Are we together here? So you need to synchronize your heart by the Spirit to always be where? In the will of God. You see, because the will of God remains. Other things, you see, they are fading away. But that will remains. It remains now. It remains. So we don't mind what every other person is doing. We stay in the wheel. It remains. You see, when they are done, we are just starting. The wheel remains. It might not look fun, but it remains. It remains. I see your life as the type of life that remains.
Amen.
Now, not just it. I see you leading a life that is worthy of transfer. You know, some people, how they are living their life, God wants somebody else to pick it up. Because it is part of divine program. There is continuity. But there are some types of life that God wants to erase the memory, you see, because it's an offense. Yeah. In the Bible warned us against the way of Balaam. Like, Balaam is a way God doesn't want anyone to continue. But the Bible now told us of women like Sarah and said, I want all women to continue what, you see, if you say, Lord, give me the heart of Sarah, you are praying an accurate prayer. Amen. Like if you say, God, I want to be like Sarah, it's a prayer that is accurate because they lived in the wheel. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I tell you. But the beautiful thing is that when synchronization happens, power flows. I tell you the truth. The more you get this inward synchronization right, you align yourself with the Lord, then your life begins to exude the power of God. Oh, yes. Power. You will have power. No, you have power. You have power. What do I mean by power? I mean a life that carries the weight of conviction. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a life that God attests of. A life that God says, this is mine. I'm part of this. And then the third thing we spoke about is the love of God. Now, the fourth thing that you need to synchronize in the next few minutes I have, the timer is up. You see, your marriage is foundational. You will never go to a Bible school in your life that will be richer than your marriage. And you will never go to a conference that will be more powerful than your marriage. Your marriage is the biggest, greatest school of the spirit that you would ever attend in your whole life. And there is a reason for that. The reason for that is that marriage mirrors the depth of spirituality. You see, when God was going to create marriage, what he looked in the realm of the spirit is too sensitive. He looked at a sensitive matter and then used that matter he used it as the prototype with which he created marriage. So anytime God sees marriage, what he's seeing is Christ and the church. That's why all the admonitions about marriage is linked with Christ and church, you see. And then they now told the man that he's going to act like his own role is that we make you Jesus Christ. Then he looked at the woman and said, okay, we will make you what? The church. They now pack both of you. And now you know you are not Jesus Christ. You see, you don't have a doubt that you are not Jesus Christ. Even the J has not yet formed. Do you understand? But they said, you see, then they now said both of you will play Christ and church. You see? So it's not an easy thing. Now, but before God did that, before you are aware of God did that, Satan did his own. The one Satan did was that he did Romeo and Juliet. And he had written a lot of novels for you. So the knowledge of marriage in novels has been already stored in your soul. You see, so marriage for you is first romantic. You see, it is 2 days after you get married that the romance will now disappear. And you will now be looking, where is the romance in this thing? You see, a lot of us, we prepare romantically for a deeply spiritual matter. You see, there are a lot of you here now. You already have a plan of how your proposal must be. That this is how my mom must propose to me. You know, there are proposals and proposals. You know, there's one I can never forget. I'll tell you the truth. This is the first time in my life I saw a man
propose kneeling down with his two legs. You know, propose that is one leg. You see, when he got to Ajibwa's turn. It was not proposal, it was begging. I said, when I saw that, I said, it's one leg they used to use. You use one leg like this and use the. But Ajibwa, two legs down, head bowed, you know. Listen, friends. We prepare more for a romantic relationship, which is like maybe number 10. You see, but you don't know that you are about, you see that prayer, I pray, God, I want to be like you. You are about to go to the theater where you will be like Jesus. I tell you the truth. I tell you, it is the home that helps. You see, marriage helps you. If you are ready to conform to Christ in the fast rate. Are you with me? Yeah. It is the place where flesh is slain. Your flesh will be slain. Are you with me, friends? Yeah. And that's why your home, not good. I'm not talking of good home. Listen, there are some homes who have challenges that are more spiritual than some who don't have challenges. You see, it's not lack of challenge or that makes a home spiritual or not. It is how much we are holding forth the wisdom of God in the home. Yeah. So I'm not preaching about good home. Whether you have good home or not, God knows. I'm not talking about good home. I'm talking about, and that's why, if you don't hear God, you will hear God when you get married. And you will have an opportunity to either rebel or not. Because you will now find out that there is a referee in the marriage. His voice will be loud. When you think you are right, he will come and meet you and say, no, this is how I want you to handle that thing. Then if you don't handle it the way you are, if you do otherwise, you will now find that you started having a problem with your wife. But now you are now having a problem with your God. It's a spiritual thing. So you must go into the marriage covenant. Are you with me? Understanding that this is pivotal to my walk with God. Are you with me, friends? Later, maybe tomorrow, I will also now talk about, I will still stay on this marriage talk because a lot of us are in that space. Then I will now talk about love walk. These five things, you need them to be synchronized. Love, walking in love. Walking in love. You see? Because if you don't walk in love, you put an indictment on your salvation. Because he that hates his brother, the Bible says that the love of God is not even inside him. He doesn't know the Lord. So we will learn love walk. You see? The love walk. You see? It's your love walk. Your love walk is your true address, your true spiritual, your gift. The gift you operate is not your. It's not the address. You see, let me say something to you. If you operate in a gift of the Spirit without a love walk, that gift of the Spirit will not lead anybody to Christ. But it's your love walk that lets us know where you are coming from. And what's your love walk? It's the supremacy of the Spirit in your interactions with men. You see, it is when you make the Spirit supreme in your interactions with men and not your flesh in your interactions with men. Because if you ask, and that was what Jesus Christ was teaching. When he said, Moses told you an eye for an eye, but I tell you otherwise. He says, if you are slapped on the right cheek, what should you do? You turn the left. So the love walk helps you walk anti-flesh. You see, the spirit, sit down, brother. The Spirit is in our love walk. The Spirit is in our love walk. You see, the Spirit is not in our tongues. The Spirit is in our what? Love walk. If God is going to be revealed in a person or with a people, it's dependent on the strength of their love walk. And God is tampering with our hearts to bring us to these places, you see, so that his life can flow. Are you not grateful to God? Are you not grateful to God? Are you not happy that you are saved? What about the privilege of having a walk with God? Is it not a great privilege? No, I'm asking you, is it not a great privilege? Huh? Is it not a great privilege that you are living in the kingdom?
Yes.
That you don't have to die to live in the kingdom. You are living in the kingdom. What a privilege. Now, is it not a privilege that the Holy Spirit is resident in you? Is it not a great privilege? That the Spirit tells you what to do. Now, not everybody has that. But the blood of Jesus and the mercy of Jesus, you see. Oh, what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. We have an unction, right?
Yes.
And that unction, the Spirit, what does it do? It teaches us all things. It tells you what to do. It tells you how to treat your wife. It tells your wife how to treat. And that's why, you see, you can't rebel against your husband if you have not rebelled against God. No, you can't do that. It's obvious you first rebelled against the Lord. What a beautiful thing. I wish I can hear somebody say, what a beautiful thing.
What a beautiful thing.
What a blessing.